Environment, Energy, and Natural Resources Budget Division will come to order. Welcome, everyone, and I hope everyone's found our new room, our room for the day. We will be today going through the spreadsheet for our recommended budget, the deficit reduction budget that we will be forwarding to Senator Cohen. The target for this division is roughly negative $13 million for the biennium. And so that's what you will see reflected in this spreadsheet through distributed throughout the different agencies that we cover. And we will first we'll go through the spreadsheet, and then we'll have with Mr. Mueller, and then we'll have Mr. Knopf go through the language. There's not a lot of language in the bill. And take questions from committee members. The committee has to break at 3 o'clock, as we, the majority caucus, is caucusing at 3, so we're going to take a break at 3. And if we can get done before then, I would. Everyone gets a gold star. If not, we'll come back and finish. So let's start with the – does everyone have a copy of a spreadsheet who wants one? We just want to make sure we haven't run out. We had 90 copies, and I think that should be enough. All right. All right, Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair and members, again, you had mentioned there's about a $13 million net general fund reduction. This accomplishes it through about $7.05 million of spending reduction, net spending reductions, and about $6 million of revenue increases. Mostly that comes through different cancellations. But I'll start at the top of page one. And we'll be working off the columns under the Senate. The first reduction is for Pollution Control Agency, a $473,000 reduction. That is the same as what was recommended in the governor's budget. That is the only change for PCA. Next, we get to DNR. There's a one-time reduction for land asset management of $250,000. This was a they received about $1 million in new money last year. This is a reduction in some of the increase they got last year. This was not part of the governor's proposal. The next two items were contained in the governor's initiatives or governor reductions for the iron ore co-op agreements and the minerals diversification reductions. The next item is actually a cost savings that was in Senator Saxhog's forestry bill. There's a slight savings to the department for allowing them to speed up their land exchanges in the forest area. Under waters, the next one, a $38,000 reduction for water assessment reports. This was from the governor's budget. The next two items were in the just reductions in the tails for the Mississippi Headwaters and the Leech Lake grants. We did not do those reductions because they were for tails only. The next two items were in the governor's proposal, the ring dike reduction and the Red River flood damage reduction. Those are just reductions to existing appropriations. The next item was the governor rec for clean water legacy reduction. We did not do that. The administrative penalty order language that was in the governor's proposal, we're not carrying that right now either. Forest management, there's a $53,000 increase for the forest parcelization study. This was in the governor's initiative, and Senator Saxhog had a bill for this. The other part of the governor's initiative, the $197,000 part, we did not do. Under park and rec, the governor had $450,000 general fund reduction for parks. We're doing $220,000 general fund reduction, but later in the spreadsheet we are replacing that 220 with $220,000 of natural resources fund money out of the parks. So it will be a net zero for parks. Under trails and waterways, the governor had recommended a $200,000 reduction. We did not do that. We are doing the governor's reduction of $50,000 in non-motorized forest recreation trails. We are picking up the governor's proposal to reduce Fish and Wildlife General Fund appropriations by $329,000. And we're carrying that number through the tails. The governor had a little bit larger number in the tails, but we're carrying the same amount. We are not doing the governor's reduction for Let's Go Fishing. We are doing the governor's 2009 reduction for the Minnesota Shooting Sports Center. And keeping that reduction through the tails, the governor had recommended eliminating the appropriation in the tails of $100,000. So this will leave $54,000 in the base for that program. And we are picking up the governor's proposal for $52,000 in licensing reductions. And then we are not doing the reduction to prairie wetlands of $200,000. For ecological services, we did not pick up the governor's cut to the tails of $108,000 per year. We are not doing the governor's rec of $320,000 cut to invasive species or the cut in the tails to Project Wild. The governor recommended about a $482,000 cut for Clean Water Legacy and within ecological services, and we're doing $200,000 of that cut. Under enforcement, we're doing a general fund reduction of $383,000, and later on we're replacing that money on recreation account from some of the new revenue that's coming in from the gas tax increase. So that should be a net zero for enforcement there. We're not doing the governor's reduction for advanced hunter education of $85,000. We are picking up the governor's recommended reduction for the law enforcement recruiter of $75,000. Under operations, we're doing the governor's rec of $100,000 reduction for a planner, and we're also doing the extra $744 on the bottom represents an additional 1% cut to the agency. Makes it similar to, but this is unspecified, that within operations targeted for travel administration and such items within operations. This matches the 4% reduction that, with Pollution Control Agency and the 4% reductions that agencies are seeing across the state budget with the Senate proposal. So we get a net cut for a DNR of $277 million, which is about $150,000 more than what the governor had recommended. Under Met Council Parks, we're not doing the governor's rec. There's no change here on the Senate side. The governor had recommended $162,000 reduction. On the page 2, under Bowser, we're picking up the $450,000 increase for the flood cost share proposal. We are doing a partial governor's rec reduction of the grant reductions. The governor recommended a reduction in both the weed prevention grants and in the buffer grants, and we're just doing the reduction in the weed prevention grants. We're also picking up the governor's rec on the reduction of the drainage, some of the staff people for the drainage area. And there's a new $100,000 one-time appropriation for the Star Lakes proposal from Senator Olson. Under Commerce, we are zeroing out the second-year appropriation of the E85 grants. The first-year appropriation of $1.5 million remains unchanged. The Renewable Hydrogen Initiative, we're reducing that by $2.8 million. The governor had $2.6 million reduction. There's a new proposal here for $200,000 for biodiesel sustainability standards. That there'll be some language in later on in the article that will briefly talk about that. So we get a net spending reduction of $7,050,000 from all the agencies after you include the increases and decreases, which is about $1.188 million more reductions than the governor. On the revenue side of things, we are canceling one. There's an old appropriation from 2000 for a stream protection revolving loan account. Our understanding, the money has been used for, has been paid all back and has since been unused for the last year or so. So we're canceling that money out of a special revenue account and back to the general fund. There is a proposal for increasing some of the existing water usage fees. This would generate about $500,000. And the last page of this handout goes through those changes, and there's also a section in the article that shows those changes. We're canceling $101,000 that is of unappropriated money, fund balance that's sitting in the Minnesota Futures Fund. Again, the governor is carrying about $100,000 of revenues for the administrative penalty order, and that's not being carried, or we're not doing that in this proposal. Then under Public Utilities Commission, we're picking up the governor's recommendation for transferring $4 million out of telephone assistance plan for over the amount that was charged on phone bills for assistance. There's a surplus in that fund. We're transferring that, canceling that over to the general fund. So we have about $6 million of increased revenue. Most of that is one time. The only part that would carry on are the water use fees of $500,000 per year. The rest of it is all one time. Now, there's a few other spending items here at the bottom that are coming from other funds. For the most part, this proposal doesn't use any general fund. But like I talked about before, we're using $220,000 out of the parks account, and that backfills the $220,000 general fund cut to parks. Senator Chaudhary's bill, Senate file 3714 yesterday, is using some of the new gas tax money within the ATV account. We're splitting that half and half. Half of it goes to trails, and 150 of that half goes to operation and maintenance and rehab type things. Then 35 will go out to grant and aids, and then $185,000 will go to local law enforcement. And then the last part here is, again, this is money out of the water rec account that will be going for enforcement. This backfills the $383,000 cut, general fund cut, for enforcement. This is just some of the new money. The water rec account is getting about $2 million per year on the gas tax, so we're just appropriating a small portion of that enforcement. The last page here briefly talks about the proposed changes in some of the water fees. The first column there show the current fees, the proposed fees, and then the change in the fees. And right now, this is based on some preliminary talk with DNR. I'm showing about a $514,000 net increase in revenue, but I'm only booking $500,000 of it right now until they're able to verify all this. But right now, the waters area of DNR costs about, to operate that portion of the agency, costs about $7.8 million, and they only collect about $4.8 million in fees. So we're catching up about $500,000 in increased fees to help offset the general fund subsidy of this part of the agency. Again, I'll quickly go through some of the fee increases. The non-use irrigation fee of $20 does not change. The minimum fee amount for up to 50 million gallons of use goes from $101 to $140. And then after that, all the fees are based on use per million gallons of use. And each of those ranges, we're increasing by 50 cents. And you'll see that middle column about how many permits are in each of those ranges. We did not increase the summer surcharge rate. We did increase some of the once-through. The DNR charges a separate rate for once-through cooling and heating systems. There's a few of those left out there. They should be phasing out over the next few years. There's like 9 nonprofit and school systems, 17 other systems. We increased the rate there from 150 to 200 on the nonprofits and from 300 to 420 on all others. And that's a rate based on per million gallons for their once-through systems. All those increases get us roughly a little over $500,000 per year. This is based on 2006 water use, which is the latest data that department had, so this revenue estimate may change. little bit. So that's why I'm only booking 500,000 of this 514. So, Madam Chair, that is the numbers part of the proposal.
Okay.
As stated in the spreadsheet and fees.
Great. I'm just going to, all right, I'll take questions. Senator Vickerman.
Somebody who's pushing E85. I need to have you.
Mm-hmm. And Senator Vickerman, on the E85 last year, we were able to put $3 million more into the E85 pump grants, which is a huge increase over what they've had in the past for an appropriation to try to really ramp up that program. And what we're doing here is just saying we're going to cancel the second year because we're going to, that will allow us to keep $1.5 million out there, which again is far more than was in that program for any year in the past. And we've been asking the department for an accounting of where that money has gone, and I still haven't seen a list, but it seems to me there's still money that is not granted and that there's an opportunity for stations to be opened around the state. So it was a matter of trying to look at the highest priorities in our budget and to do the least damage that we could. So I think by leaving the first year appropriation, which was a very generous appropriation, I think they can still do the job around the state.
Place, we find out that they don't have enough. Money setting, I ain't doing my book, but any money setting we need to use because we don't have it. I'm sure we got enough.
I think you're right, Senator Vickerman. If the department can make that case to us, we're all ears, but we've been asking and we haven't gotten that answer. So I don't believe that. I think there's still plenty of money in the program. That's my.
If I could go home with
them. I should comment. Let me just talk generally about the budget cuts because it's never easy. It was a lot more fun last year to put out a budget and a spreadsheet that added a lot of money to programs that we really cared about and to priorities that we really cared about. And this year we have to cut without harming those priorities, and it's really difficult. We had to make some very tough choices. As you can see in the, you know, we did accept some of the governor's recommendations, but we didn't accept a lot of his recommendations either. And in the DNR, we didn't cut any parks at all, zero. That was really important to me. We didn't cut the invasive species program, another area where that was a priority last year to try to get some action there, and we avoided cuts in that area that the governor recommended. We avoided clean water legacy cuts, and there's one that shows up here as a clean water legacy cut, but that's the only one that was designated by the department. They explained that this was staffing hires that hadn't been made yet, so basically it's a savings that's accrued to date. It's not any cut to any clean water legacy program. So that was really an important priority for me to continue the progress forward that we put into our funding bill last year in Clean Water Legacy. We avoided cuts to the Let's Go Fishing program, to prairie wetlands, to hunter education, and to Bowser grants. We did a very small targeted amount of new spending in this bill, very small. And I'll just repeat what those areas are. Senator Saxhog's Forest Industry Competitiveness Study, that's general fund. We did put more money into ATV trail rehab and maintenance, as well as local sheriff's enforcement, but that's from new gas tax money, and grant and aid trails a small amount. The other general fund items are also very limited. Flood response was one of them. One-time money to get the Star Lakes program off the ground, and then the biodiesel sustainability is some general fund money that I'm putting in here to as I'm working with Senator Vickerman on some ideas for his 20% biodiesel bill. That hasn't been all decided on yet, but I wanted to make sure that we set that money aside to be able to do the job in that area. And then in terms of game and fish fund, those changes are primarily in Senator Chaudhry's bill. So those aren't, this bill is mostly general fund. And again, we have a 4% agency cut is what we were asked to do by Senator Cohen. So I appreciate that some of these cuts may be difficult for members to swallow, and I understand there are really some tough choices. But that was what I felt had to be done to protect our priorities and to be able to allow existing funds to continue to do the job that they're doing. Are there other questions about the spreadsheet? All right, thank you. Why don't we do the language? Mr. Knopf, are we ready to go through the articles?
Yes.
Yep.
Go
ahead.
Well, Madam Chair, if you want me to start while they're, I know they're handing them out to
Why don't we wait for them to be handed it out? That'll just take a moment. I'll just explain that we put these in two articles. Article 10 is Environment and Natural Resources, and Article 11 is Energy. And so these are written up as articles of Senator Cohen's overall budget deficit reconciliation bill, or whatever it will be called, his overall budget bill. And so we'll forward these on to Senator Cohen's full finance committee as articles. Maybe one other thing I wanted to mention about the spreadsheet while these are going around is about the water fees, because I know Mr. Mueller talked about this, and I want to just emphasize, number one, that we've had a discussion about these water fees for several years now. The state agency, DNR, had talked about doing this a year ago. We asked them to come back with some proposed fees, and they did bring us a report with some recommendations and ideas, and they weren't in the governor's budget. And given the budget deficit that we're facing and the fact that these fees are quite far from covering the cost of the program, I thought it was important to start to close that gap. But as Mr. Mueller indicated, these are some pretty modest increases to the fees that go part of the way, but nowhere near all the way towards covering the cost of the permitting program. So this is an additional $500,000 collected in fees, and we're still somewhat more than $2 million under the cost of the permit program. And this is for water usage in the millions of gallons. So I think these are pretty reasonable fee increases as well. We'll let everybody get the copy before we go through them. Go ahead, Mr. Knopf, please.
Madam Chair and members, now we'll go through Article 10, Environment and Natural Resources. Section 1 is just standard language with a summary. We'll fill in the numbers based on the spreadsheet. Section 2, again, is boilerplate language, saying that these are added to and subtracted from the appropriations made in Chapter 57 last year. Section 3 are the appropriations for the Pollution Control Agency. Mr. Mueller went through those. One thing you'll note on 1.26 to 1.27, the language to reduce funding for administration and non-essential travel for the administration, part of the cuts to the Pollution Control Agency, but these are all recommended by the governor. Section 4, the Department of Natural Resources, starts on the bottom of page 1, but on page 2 you'll see the language that, again, we'll fill in the numbers as we from the spreadsheet after the hearing. Basically, lands and minerals, you've got the $250,000 for land asset management, $124,000 for iron ore cooperative agreements, $101,000 for minerals, and then there's that $66,000. That's the estimated reduction in expenditures by the department based on the new expedited land exchange process that's in this bill and also was contained in Senator Saxog's 2651. Water resource management, you see the $22,000 for ring dikes, $38,000 because of the eliminating the reporting requirements. And then you've got the $30,000 for the Red River remediation agreement, the reduction there. Forest management, you see the $53,000 for the study. And in section or subdivision 5 on page 3, you'll see in Parks and Recreation that the WASH, the $220,000 reduction in the general fund, and the $220,000 increase from the state parks account. In trails and waterway management, these are blanks right now. We'll pick up the numbers from Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet, but we've got the all-terrain vehicle account, some money for all-terrain vehicle trail rehabilitation, a $50,000 reduction. That's a general fund reduction for non-motorized trails, and then another blank, which will be filled in. That's for all-terrain vehicle grants and aid. In Subdivision 7, you'll see the language on the general fund reduction for Fish and Wildlife, the Minnesota Shooting Sports Center, and then the money for the reduction for licensing. In Subdivision 2, Subdivision 8, Ecological Services, you'll see the reduction for the impaired waters, but you also see a transfer that it should have been made last year. It's a transfer from the water recreation account. When the new account was created last year, there was supposed to be some money transferred over. This would accomplish that. Subdivision 9, enforcement, you've got the general reduction for enforcement operations, including the $75,000 for the conservation officer recruiting. Then you've got the increase from the water recreation account for enforcement operation. Plus there's a blank, which again will be filled in from the spreadsheet, of the all-terrain vehicle account money that's going to be going for county law enforcement agencies for all-terrain vehicle enforcement and public education activities. It's based on their all-terrain vehicle use. That's the same language as last year when the money was appropriated for that purpose. Operation support, you've got the reduction there, again, that same language to reduce funding for operation support and non-essential travel. Section 5 with Bowser, you've got the $100,000 for the Cooperative Weed Management Program reduction, the $150,000 for the Drainage Assistance Program. That's the staffing for drainage. It reduces it from 3 FTEs down to 1.5 FTEs. That was, again, a governor's recommendation. And then there's also the flood money starting in lines 5.1, the $450,000 for the money for the last August floods in southeastern Minnesota. And then on 5.6, you have the one-time appropriation of $100,000 for a grant to the Star Lake Board. Section 6 has the transfers that Mr. Mueller mentioned from the spreadsheet. The first part is a transfer from the Future Resources Fund. It's the unappropriated balance in that fund. Starting on live 5.15, you have that's the $1.4 million for the balance in the Stream Protection and Improvement Fund. Section 7, this is the language from Senator Saxog's 2651 on the expedited exchanges. Again, this raises or will reduce the costs of the department for exchanges by $66,000 per year. And then if you look on page 7, section 8, you have the water assessment reports. It was a recommendation of the governor to eliminate this reporting requirement, and there was a $38,000 reduction in appropriations for this report. Section 9, this is the Star Lakes provision from Senator Olson's bill, Senate File 2943, and this includes the language. Again, there was the appropriation earlier. This is the language creating the program and the Star Lake Board in Section 10. And then in Section 11, you know, the water use permit processing fee, and this is what Mr. Mueller explained earlier. This is the increase in the fee to raise about $500,000 per year. And this is, you can see the fees that were mentioned on the back spreadsheet in Mr. Mueller's spreadsheet. And it does, a couple of things to note, as he mentioned, there is no change to the fee for an irrigator that doesn't pump in a given year. And there is also not a change in the cap for irrigators. And also a lot of the other, there are caps within here. You can see in the bottom of page 12 and the top of page 13 that based on it, for certain cities of the first class, they have a cap on their fees. None of those caps have been changed. Section 12 was the Star Lake or River signs. Again, that was from Senator Olson's Star Lakes bill, 2943. Section 13 was a recommendation of the administration. And this has to do with the forest management investment account, where the account was not able to sustain the appropriations for the last session, so they're making allotments to it. So what the proposal is from the administration is to expand the use of some of the appropriations from the general fund last year. And you'll see, so this is an amendment to last year's law, and the appropriate language to look at is on page 17. And you can see that two of the appropriations from last year, one for the non-industrial private forest landowner assistance and for the land asset management demands, they're expanding the language to allow it for all forest management activities of the department. So it would open up that appropriation to backfill what the forest management investment account couldn't handle or won't be able to handle during this biennium. Section 14, that deals with the first meeting of the Star Lake Board, again from Senator Olson's bill. And the last section on page 18, section 15, this is the requirement for the rulemaking on structures in public waters. And Madam Chair, I should probably bring this up now. There was an issue as to whether or not how much this is going to cost and whether it should be part of the rulemaking with the shoreland zoning rules. And right now it still has it. It does have a date out to the end of the next biennium for when the rules have to be done, that June 30th, 2011. But the language still says that it should be part of that rulemaking. And I was unclear whether the committee would want to continue that process if they slow down the shoreland zoning rule changes, or whether or not it should, but it would be easy to delete that last part of the sentence on that, starting on 18.5.
Mr. Knopf, are you done? Why don't you say the last sentence and then, or whatever, and then I can address that.
Madam Chair, just the effective date is following enactment on the rule change.
Yeah, I think on section 15 on the rulemaking, we did have very extensive testimony about that, both in the policy committee, and then yesterday we talked specifically about, is that just yesterday?
Yeah.
About the whether it was a good idea to combine it with the shoreland management rulemaking. And I was pretty convinced that it didn't make sense to do them together. The DNR was very firm about that they thought they wouldn't complement each other that closely, and that it would just it might just delay the rulemaking that we've already put into place. So I think we should probably take that part out and just as Mr. Lacismo testified yesterday, he testified that they could do it by the end of the next biennium within existing budget. So I think we should just leave it at that and maybe strike that language on 18.5 to 18.6 after the comma on 18.5, strike the rest of 18.5 and everything on 18.6 up to the period. I'm sorry. On line 18.5, strike all those everything after the
before
second comma.
Madam Chair, I think you'd want to strike.
Go ahead.
Strike everything after 6115 because you want to strike the comma there too.
There you go.
So
delete
everything after 6115 on 18.5 and delete everything before the period on 18.6.
Okay. Senator Chaudhry, would you like to move that? Are you comfortable with that?
I had a question about that, Madam Chair. That means then that the rulemaking won't start until 2010?
Well, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say when it starts. It just says when it has to be done. So it would be, there's no reason why it couldn't start right away. I think in order to avoid a fiscal cost to us in this biennium, I don't want to say it has to start now. But I think it would be wise for the DNR to start that process. And there may be some congruence with the other process in some parts of it. If there's public meetings to discuss the proposed rulemaking, it might make sense to talk about both of them, for example, at the same time. So I would say that if we struck that language, it would really just leave it open about when it would have to start, but be clear it has to finish by the end of the next biennium.
Is that finish date, Madam Chair, part of the original bill?
No. No, Senator Chaudhry. It came about really because Mr. Lacissimo testified yesterday that, you know, he said it would cost $175,000 if we made them do it now. But if we waited, he said they could finish it by the end of the next biennium with no additional cost, general fund cost, that they could absorb the cost. So, yes, it may delay it somewhat, but given our budget constraints, I think I was comfortable with that as a compromise. Great, thank you. Is there any further discussion on that motion? All right, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Yes, Senator Vickerman.
Just for my information, go back to page 5.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
What line are you on, Mr. Senator Vickerman?
Section 6.
Line? Okay. Do you want to explain those again, Mr. Mute?
I'm just curious. Somebody desperately trying to find money. Money goes against the fund.
No, it's a good question. Mr. Mueller?
Madam Chair and Senator Vickerman, yes, this money does transfer back to the general fund. So it goes back into the great big pot of the general fund, but it helps us address our total target of, you know, negative $13 million. So if we didn't do these transfers, we'd have to cut somewhere else a larger amount. So it's not that we get the transfer back to general fund and get to respend it, because all these transfers together only equal $1.41 million, plus the TAP transfer in the other bill. On the other article, is about $5.5 million, all these transfers, but we still cut $7 million of spending, so it's not like we get to transfer them and spend it. It helps us reach our target.
To balance our budget, to get to a negative $13 million. So we got a little more than half of that came from cuts, about $7 million from cuts, and the rest from revenues or fees or whatever. Any other questions? Mr. Knuff?
Madam Chair, I just have one thing that was pointed out to me, actually. This was being processed yesterday while your committee was meeting, and there was an amendment of Senator Box that is not reflected in here. On page 10, line 20, or after line 20, we should insert number 7, one member designated by the Indian Affairs Council, and then renumber the clauses, the same as the amendment that Senator Bach moved to the bill yesterday.
Can we just incorporate that?
And I'm sure you can.
Because it's already been voted on by the committee. All right. We'll make sure that's reflected in the engrossment. All right. Any more discussion on this article?
Madam Chair, are you ready for a motion?
Well, Senator Vickerman, we have one more article. We've got the energy article.
Okay.
I know we're not used to having that in this committee, so we'll go through that one quickly.
Madam Chair, when did you want to take amendments?
Let's go through the Article 11. I was hoping to recess soon. It depends how long it'll take. Let's go through the next article and then.
I can do it after recess.
Well, it depends how long. Is it going to be a long one or a short one?
I prefer it to be short.
Me too. All right. Members, I prefer to just keep going if we think we can finish this pretty quickly, but we'll have to break pretty soon. Mr. Knopf? Mr. Mueller.
Madam Chair, members, I'll be going through Article 11, the energy article. It's pretty short, six pages. Again, the first couple sections are just headings and totals here for the whole article. I'll start down on Section 3. There's only one portion of the Department of Commerce that applies to this budget division, the energy and telecommunications. So the language on, we're doing a $2.8 million reduction from the Hydrogen Initiative grants. Again, the 1.5 reduction from the second year of the E85 grants. And then some language on 1.30 to 2.2 address There's some language later in the bill for the Green Economy Task Force. We heard the Senator Anderson's bill the other yesterday. This just says that one of the existing appropriations in Commerce for the plug-in hybrids, there was $1 million appropriation last year out of the RDF fund for the plug-in hybrid study and initiative. That appropriation would help cover the cost of this task force. That language. And then there is line 2.3 to 2.7, a $200,000 general fund appropriation. And actually, at the end of this, we should put this is a one-time appropriation. That goes to through Commerce to help develop sustainability standards for biodiesel feedstocks.
And just again, Senator Vickerman, I mentioned, I think maybe you were out of the room. This is a general fund money I wanted to put in the bill to figure out those sustainability guidelines, but to recognize we're still talking about the language, and that'll be decided by tomorrow or sometime. So we don't have any other language in here. We just put the appropriation.
So, Madam Chair, whenever we get to the point of moving the article, we should incorporate that.
This is a one-time
appropriation. Then for Public Utilities Commission, again, there's the language that was in the governor's proposal for transferring. The one-time transfer is $4 million from the telephone assistance plan to the general fund. Section 5 comes from Senate File 3539, which is...
This is the other part of the Green Jobs
task
force bill.
Yeah, dealing with the task force. Etc. Section 6 also is from that bill. Also Section 7 and 8. And Section 9 was actually a different bill, but they're all kind of the same package. It was Senate File 3540 is the actual task force. The other sections come from Senate File 3539, which is just dealing with the policy part.
And there was a section of the Green Jobs Bill. I presented it yesterday, the task force. There was a section that had gone to Senator Tomasoni's division, and Senator, he said, just send it over here, and Senator Cohen agreed just to send it over and put it in our bill because it matches up, and that's in the House, it's paired up as one bill, and that's gone through all the committees as well.
So that's it. There's Section 9 is the last section that deals with the task force, and it has an expiration date on there of June 3rd, 2009. So that is it for the energy article.
Okay, are there questions on Article 11? All right. Are there any further discussion from the committee? Senator Chaudhry, you have an amendment?
One.
Members, this is the
Senator Chaudhry.
The Outdoor Heritage Fund Citizens Legislative Council. This has passed the Senate last year, and it's also passed this year the Environment Policy Committee and the Local Government Committee. It hasn't gotten as much movement in the House, so I think it's important that we send a signal that this council move forward. I think most of the members of this committee have heard this issue. In fact, I think we all have because it's been on the floor. But it basically sets up a LCCMR model for just the habitat money that is carved out in the dedicated funding amendment. The reason why it's important to do this year is because the council sets out certain things that provide a lot of confidence in how the money, dedicated funding money, will be spent. And that's important to pass dedicated funding on the ballot in November. And, for example, it sets up a conservation partners account, which would allow local sportsmen clubs to be eligible for a direct match. It carves out dollars for Forest Legacy, which is very important to northern Minnesota. And, of course, it guarantees that there is a citizen voice in the distribution of those habitat dollars, pretty much like the Commission on Minnesota Resources that we already have a Citizens Legislative Council on. So it's modeled after that. This, like I said, this is passed the Senate last year. The only difference from last year's version, or the main difference, is that in this version, there are more citizens than legislators. However, there is nonetheless a supermajority required, like in the LCCMR, to pass anything. We do have the conservation partners. That has more money than last year. But there's some gender balance and a regional balance that's been added that's different from last year. But for the most part, it is the same as what we passed out of the Senate last year. This is very important to sportsmen groups members. It's a critical component of the buy-in for dedicated funding passing the ballot this November, and it gives confidence in knowing where money will be spent. The Citizens Legislative Model has been successful in the LCCMR. And I think it's a good model to be able to follow for just the habitat dollars. This does not touch the clean water money in the dedicated funding bill, nor does it touch the arts or the parks. This is only for the kind of the sportsman 1/8 part of it that would help them be a greater part of distributing the dollars. I know Mr. McMillan from Moha is here, as well as Mr. Dugan from Pheasants Forever, who can are here to, if there are questions from members. But I think this is a finance bill, and this is a finance amendment. It's how the money will be spent, so I think it's appropriate to try and move this forward.
Senator Vickerman. Senator Vickerman, can you move your microphone over just a little?
Senator Chaudhry, I'm looking at one member from the Senate, one member from the House. Is that all you want to be on here? You know who handles money around this place? The legislature, unless I'm not reading this right.
Remind us, Senator Chaudhry, how many citizen members and how many legislative members?
There would be six legislative members, and so there would be three from the House and three from the Senate, and then one member would have to be from each body, would have to be part of the minority caucus.
And how many citizen members?
10.
So 10 citizens, 6 legislative members.
But a supermajority is required to pass anything.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For you or for counsel, would this require them that this bill would need to go to the Rules Committee?
Madam Chair.
Senator Chaudhry.
Madam Chair, Senator Bach. The standalone bill is in Rules Committee. And it's waiting to be heard. It's my understanding that it will be heard. The date hasn't been scheduled yet, but if the Rules Committee doesn't pass this, then obviously we would not be able to continue to have this in the finance bill. But so far it's been moving along, and the Rules Committee did pass it last year, so I do expect it to pass the Rules Committee as well.
Senator Chaudhry, we talked about this a little bit earlier, and we tried to talk to Senator Cohen. Did you have a chance to chat with Senator Cohen about this amendment?
I
didn't either. I'm a little, I supported this bill. I'm a co-author, and I understand why you want to do this, but I'm a little reluctant to put it in the finance bill. As I mentioned to you earlier today, And I it would be helpful to know what Senator Cohen thinks. We've tried really hard to keep a lot of policy. There's a little bit of policy that goes along with appropriations in the finance bill, and we've tried hard to keep it to non-controversial items. And I don't think this is really controversial on the Senate side, but I guess it is on the House side. But regardless of that, this does exist in your omnibus policy bill, and we passed it there. And we're going to hear your omnibus policy bill in this division next week. So I guess I'm not sure why we need to also put it in the deficit reduction finance bill, because it's not really a general fund spending item. Or,
Madam Chair, we don't have only general fund money in the spending in the bill. There is game and fish. There's natural resource dollars. And I think this is totally policy, totally finance. And so that's why I think it's appropriate to, this was handled in, this type of bill has been handled in finance committees before. So I think there is an appropriateness. And you know, if Senator Cohen, and this does have to stop in the full finance committee, if Senator Cohen absolutely, you know, refuses to accept this as part of the bill, then, you know, so be it. But I think we have an opportunity here to move this legislation forward. And this finance bill and the Senator Cohen's finance bill is going to move forward. And so this is an opportunity to get this done. And if it gets done, then we can delete it from the policy bill.
Madam Chair?
Senator Frederickson.
Madam Chair, if this were only the enhancement council, I think then it would fall under policy. But the subdivision one of this establishes the Outdoor Heritage Fund in the state treasury and also establishes two accounts from within that fund, which also brings it into a finance brings it into a finance committee, because we're establishing a fund and two accounts. And anything that affects the appropriation of state money and funds and accounts is supposed to be going through a finance committee.
Well, I think it's arguable either way whether it fits in the finance bill. I don't know that there's a clear line there one way or the other. I just am not sure that Senator Cohen wants to be negotiating on this issue when he's trying to balance, you know, a $1 billion state deficit between the House and the Senate. So I sort of doubt if this is what he had in mind with in terms of the policy that we forwarded to him. So that would be my recommendation, that I don't think Senator Cohen wants this in there, but I can't speak for him. And I'm just, you know, I think members should vote how they want on this. And if it passes, we'll send it to him and see what happens. But I personally don't support it. So I think we pretty much understand the motion. And, you know, is there any further discussion? I think we should vote. All right. All in favor of Senator Chaudhry's motion, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
Motion does not prevail. All right. Any further discussion on the bill? Senator Frederickson, would you care to?
Madam Chair, I would move that the documents listed as Article 10 and Article 11 as amended, and the spreadsheet dated 12:36 p.m. of the day be forwarded to the full committee as our recommendation for the division's portion of balancing the state budget and authorizing the staff to incorporate the spreadsheet into the documents.
Senator Frederickson, I forgot that Mr. Mueller had suggested in Article 11, page 2, line 7, to insert this is a one-time appropriation.
I'll incorporate that.
All right. That would be incorporated. Is that all the magic words that we need?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. On that motion, is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion prevails. Members, thank you so much. We'll be meeting next week to consider Senator Chaudhry's omnibus bill and some of the other bills remaining in our division. The meeting's adjourned.